the Lawrence County Museum has found a way to make the objects in its collection come to life. No, there's no poltergeist, and this isn't a Halloween story, but the discovery of a 100-year-old document in a place far from Bedford, Indiana, has brought vintage photographs and faded artifacts out of the museum's vaults and into an arrangement that reanimates the year 1908 for 21st century visitors.
I got a call from a lady named Jan Davis, who's a realtor in California.
Rowena Cross Najafi is the president of the Lawrence County Historical and Genealogical Society.
And she said that she had found this diary in the garage of a house that was foreclosed on in San Diego. And the resident of the house had already abandoned the house and moved, and this stuff was still in the garage. So she nabbed it, and unlike a lot of people who would have just thrown it out on the curb, she looked through it and found what it was.
On the diary's front page, the California realtor had found the name Mary Lemon beside an address on 15th Street in Bedford.
Immediately after the call, we were out looking for the house, and I was so hoping the house would still be there. And I saw there was a more modern house there, and I was like, oh, what a bummer.
That Rowena was this excited about a house mentioned in a diary she'd never laid eyes on should indicate just how significant a historical document she thought the diary might be. A few days later, it arrived in the mail.
We stood around it and just gaped, I think, when it came in, because it was, first of all, the girl had beautiful handwriting, of course, and there were so many names named.
The daughter of a wealthy mill owner, Mary Lemon was 14 when she first started writing in the diary she received for Christmas in 1907.
At this period in her life, she was not prone to too much introspection, you know. She was very positive and interested in the people around her. That's what made it so much fun. You know, if it had been your, what my kids call emo rant, it would have had no interest for us whatsoever. But because she was so much a product of her time, so involved in it, and so observant of it, then it enabled us to experience that time through her eyes.
The view through Mary's eyes was a lofty perspective of Bedford in its heyday, a time when it was known as the limestone capital of the world.
That period from about 1900 to 1910 in Bedford was our golden age.
And the Lemons were at the center of Bedford society.
They were thought to be one of the first people that had an automobile in town.
Becky Boer curated Through the Eyes of a Teenager, 1908.
They just experienced a privileged life that we today don't even think happened.
A look at downtown Bedford today is hard to square with the picture that emerges from Mary Lemon's diary. To reconstruct that fairly unbelievable world, Becky picked out names, addresses, pastimes, and artifacts from the diary that could be represented by photographs and objects in the museum's collection.
They loved to go to the candy store. This Miller's confectioner, we found pictures both outside the candy store and inside, so we know where she went when she and her friends would take off and go get candy. They just seemed to have a great time. They weren't that much different than the teenagers today. They loved to go to the movies. There was the Crystal Theater and the Majestic Theater, and she would go to both of those. And I'm assuming that was just the beginning of silent movies. Oh, she loved to go roller skating. All of these little things were maybe within 2-3 blocks from where they lived, so they could walk or take their horse and buggy.
Rowena points out a photo of Bedford's Monon railway station platform thronged with commuters.
Another thing that comes out in this diary is how mobile kids were because of the trains. Like the Mitchell-Bedford basketball game was a really big deal. And all the Bedford kids could get on the train and go down to Mitchell and watch it and get back on the train and get back.
The curators were able to dig up an artifact of particular importance to this spirited group of high schoolers.
The 1910 class banner is prominent in one of the stories that she tells, where the boys from her class, and their juniors at the time, they go up the flagpole at Bedford High School, which is now where the Bedford Middle School is, and they hang that from the flagpole. And it incenses the school leadership. And there are consequences, which the entire junior class bears gladly. This is a great drama. All the boys are expelled, and the girls all wear black mourning ribbons. And then they get thrown out because they refuse to take them off.
The fact that the black and gold Art Nouveau-style banner turned up in the collection of the Lawrence County Museum makes Mary's world all the more real.
The banner itself, we were amazed that we found that in our collection. We think Mary probably had her fingers in that. It's a lovely thing, and we were really excited when we found it. It's like, this is it. This is the thing that she wrote about, the exact thing.
High school wasn't all tomfoolery for Mary. The show also includes copies of The Comet, a monthly publication of which she was editor. After graduating, Mary went on to Denison College and eventually Vassar, where she took her bachelor's degree in medieval French. Mary's Vassar yearbook is also on view. It had turned up, along with the diary, in that San Diego garage. With the help of two of Mary's granddaughters living on the West Coast, Becky was able to piece together Mary's life between Vassar and California. After college, Mary married John Norman Darrow.
They lived in New York City, and he was a stockbroker. And as her granddaughters said, the Depression was not kind to the family, so they had a rough time maintaining the image of the good life.
But that image of the good life is preserved in a photograph from the Indianapolis Star, taken 3 months before the great crash in the summer resort of Chautauqua, New York.
We have a picture here of Thomas Edison and Henry Ford and Mary's brother-in-law, Arthur Bester, who was in charge of the Chautauqua at that point. But her children were sitting on Thomas Edison's lap here, and the niece and nephew was sitting on Henry Ford's lap.
Who else is in this picture? Adolf Ox, the publisher of the New York Times. This is amazing. These are Mary's children sitting with these guys, you know.
But what is also amazing is that an abandoned diary would be rescued, returned to its place of origin, and reconnected with the people, places, and things it chronicles.
And some of those people were the grandparents and great-grandparents of people we know. They were doing it in a place that we know. You look at some of these buildings, you know, you drive by them and you admire the gingerbread or whatever. It's like, oh, that's where that family lived. Mary and her friends were up in that attic looking out that window. And that's what gives it meaning for us.
For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Yael Cassander.
Through the Eyes of a Teenager, 1908 is on view at the Lawrence County Museum in Bedford through September the 27th of this year. You can see pictures of Mary Lemon's diary, the photo of her children sitting on Thomas Edison's knee, and more at our website, wfiu.org/arts.